Today I'm speaking with Linus Lifestyle Success, Stephen. Hello, Stephen. How you doing? Welcome to the interview.
Well, thank you.
We're talking on the phone today, of course. I'm in Illinois. Stephen, where are you at?
I'm in California.
California. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would. You know, who are you? What do you do? How old are you? And give us your height.
Well, let's see. I'm about 5'9", 9.5". I'm 64 years old. I'm retired. What else?
That's about it. You say you're 5'9.5"?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't measured it in a long time, but I have a feeling I'm shrinking.
Yeah. Well, you've been with Linus Lifestyle, the club, especially for a few years now. Do you remember what brought you to the club or how you found us or I found you?
Well, you found me. I got an email, and actually I applied thinking, well, shoot, I'm too old, they won't want me. And I was, you know. I mean,
sure.
I don't remember what I was, 59 or something like that.
Yeah.
60 or whatever. And started out just kind of following along, kind of half-heartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Then got a little more serious about it. As far as intensives and so on, initially there weren't any.
Right.
So, you know, I was just kind of going along my own way.
You're hanging out.
Generally kind of fighting things.
Sure.
Not exactly, you know, wholeheartedly involved, but was doing fine, improving right along.
Well, you're 64 now, and like you said, when we first found you, you were 59 or 60, somewhere in that range, and people are going to have a hard time believing that, of course, when they're looking at your pictures, and they have, because your pictures have been in the Success Gallery for a while now, and we're simply just updating things here with, you know, what I would consider an even better set of afters. But can you tell us a little bit about your history with weight and fitness and that kind of thing? Have you always been in really good shape?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. When I started working out, I was 58.
Working out when you were 58?
Right.
Oh.
I had worked out a little bit about 25 years earlier. Went to a gym kind of sporadically. I'd go 2 or 3 months on, 2 or 3 months off. And the only thing that I could say developed is I got a slightly larger butt, which was good because it was undersized too. But no, I kind of went along my whole life. People would think of me as fit, simply because I never got heavier or lighter, either one. In fact, I went like 10 years weighing 144 pounds always.
Okay.
But about the time I started working out, I had gone to my brother's for Christmas, and we walked his little no-leg dog, and I found that I couldn't even speak normally. And my understanding with jogging is that you're supposed to be able to speak normally while you're jogging.
Right.
I was having trouble walking on the flats.
Okay.
So when I got home, I live in a hilly area, and I said, well, at least you can walk. And I started off, and man, I was just staggering up a hill. So the next day was a little bit better. Third day it rained, and I was so glad. I began to look around thinking, okay, well, walking's fine, but what can you do here that would be better? And then I remembered having gone to the gym, and I thought, well, that was good overall exercise, because I do remember then that I could do anything I needed to do with no distress.
Mm-hmm.
And shopped around for gyms, found one that was fairly hardcore bodybuilding type thing. Really felt silly starting out because, you know, you get these muscular young guys and women too,
right,
who are just making me look sick. But there were a few people who were fairly encouraging. I mean, I remember one fellow, you know, just kind of, I was apologizing a little bit that I was new, and thank you for answering the question. He said, hey, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I passed that on to quite a few new people coming into the gym. Hey, you're here.
Exactly.
You know, that's more than most people are ever going to do.
Right.
But I got into Body for Life, and almost initially, and really didn't know what I was doing. And they were saying to eat 5 times a day, and you have splurge day, and only I think they call it cheat day. And,
sure.
I went from 100 and I started at 142 pounds, and I got up to 160, but I'd look in the mirror, and I was just kind of a bigger version of myself, and I don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to see my abs, and, you know, I wasn't seeing anything, and getting a little stronger as I went along, but I wasn't impressed. Once I got into Linus Lifestyle, then I began to be much more aware of food intake as opposed to just eating 5 times a day, anything you want kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And began to move down. But when I got serious about it, I think at that time I was like about 17, almost 18% body fat. Originally I was just a hair under 24. And for a guy weighing 142 pounds, and this was done with the water test deal.
Wow.
I was just astonished. I said, no way. I mean, that's fat. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I thought I was in better shape than that. But when you consider that, hey, I could hardly walk up a hill, not too surprising.
Right. So when you were 142, 144 pounds, you were 24% body fat then.
Yes.
So one of my questions was going to be, you know, did you were after the elusive abs, and my question was going to be, you didn't have abs when you were 144? And your answer, of course, would be,
no.
No way.
No.
So you were 24% body fat, could hardly walk up, you know, hills, you were out of breath, you're taking a dog for a walk.
Right.
And did find the hardcore gym and got going and started doing some things. And now, as you said, with Body for Life, you got up to 160-some pounds, but you were basically still fat, but you were bigger.
I think at that point I was like 17, just under 18% fat, so I'd come down a little bit.
All right, good.
Had gained, I guess, a little bit of lean mass, but still was way chubbier than I... Well, I can't even say chubby, because nobody would ever call me chubby.
Right.
But
you would have been
not defined at all, and my original goal was to get to like 165 with less than 10% body fat,
mm-hmm.
and really having no clue as to what I would look like at 10% or whatever.
Yeah.
But just kind of thought, well, this would be good. I had to kind of modify that. I don't think I'm ever going to get to 165, and I'm not sure I really care that much.
Right.
I'm pretty happy where I finally got.
Oh, I would hope so. Man, I mean, and a lot of people looking at your pictures are just astonished, of course, that you're there, because there's a lot of 20-year-olds that wish they had your muscularity and leanness, that's for sure.
Well, I don't wander around without clothes on most of the time, so, you know,
sure.
Most of the time, what's impressive about it is, well, recently, a number of times I've gotten involved with guys that I went to high school with, for example. We got together with to fix up the house of a friend who's disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just astonished. I was the only one that could be able to do very much.
Right.
Some of them couldn't even squat. I mean, couldn't get down to, you know, fix the plumbing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be kind of unfair. I felt like I was doing all the work, but at least they handed me the tools.
Yeah. Well, and you've got a tricky knee, too. So, I mean, the fact that you're still able to do that even with, either lifting injuries or arthritic issues, you know, I mean, you're still going up and down and still very, very active, no doubt about it.
Well, I'm lucky with the knees. I mean, yes, they're problematic, but, hey, I can walk just fine.
Right.
And, you know, when I see people who are going along with a cane or something like that,
right.
I can't be complaining too much about it.
So tell us, let's continue with the evolution here. You got up into the 160s, your body fat had come down, so I would consider that successful. Your body fat dropped and your lean body mass is going up.
Yeah, and no abs.
You still no abs. They're still out there, and that you still haven't found them yet. So you're continuing on. You're still a member of the club. And what's going on? How did you, you know, make this first transformation? Because we've had your pictures in the success gallery for a while now, and you got your body fat fairly low and got some abs going and all that kind of stuff. How did that happen? And then we'll just conclude with this latest go-around where your body fat got really low.
Well, actually, what I did is I did not use the tools that are now, you know, on the thing, but I did get books and I calculated my calories and stuff.
You did it longhand,
I
right?
I think, like everybody, probably, I assume everybody has the same problem I did, in that I thought I was eating, you know, like, oh, maybe 1,600, 1,700 calories a day, and it was more like an average of 2,400.
Okay.
And so I didn't even, you know, work at it like with the lean account or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just simply said, okay, well, let's cut this back some.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't even careful about it as far as, you know, knowing precisely what the caloric intake was.
Mm-hmm.
But moved along and continued working out. I did have a whole year in that thing where, due to family problems, I was able to work out like 2 weeks and then off 3 weeks and so on. So there was a whole year of just... I would call it maintenance, and nothing changed. But that finally got over with, and then I kind of hit it a little more quickly or more intensely, I guess
right.
you'd call it. And actually didn't take all that long. I would say something like maybe 2-3 months. Then suddenly, oh, yeah, here are abs. And I used calipers to try and check body fat, and I'm not sure how accurate they are, but at least it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And it got down to, I believe, by my calculations, it was like 7%.
Mm-hmm.
And the abs appeared somewhere around 10%.
Right.
And so they were always available, you know, it's, after that, but I don't know, somewhere along the line I thought, you know, I'd like to go a little farther, you know, it's, and that's when we got on the intensive, and that's yet to come.
Yeah, well, another one of your team members from the Team Muscle 2, which we'll talk about in a second, coined a phrase for what you're kind of describing, Stephen, and he called it the body fat strip tease, which I think is just awesome. He considered it the body fat strip tease in that when he first started, which is it kind of sounds like with you, you had in your mind that you wanted to see these abs, but when you really kind of, even though you loosely followed the leanest lifestyle and you did a lot of things longhand, you just said, well, I don't know, let's just cut back a little and increase this a little. Still got to that 7%, but where the body fat striptease comes in is once you saw what 7-ish% looks like, it kind of teased you to go, wait a minute, I think I might want to take this a little bit further.
Right.
You know, and that's where the tease part comes in. It's like once you actually see it and you realize, you know, this is actually within my reach. I can do this.
Exactly right.
Even if you don't necessarily think about it when you're 24% body fat, you may not have a hope or a prayer in the world that you're going to see your abs. But when you finally start to see them, boy, that's a teaser, and you're like, oh man, I got to take it the rest of the way. So that's
and this has to remain.
And this has to remain. Yeah.
I mean, I do not want them to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So 7% comes. Now I know some more time elapsed before Team Muscle 2 started. Because Team Muscle 2 started at the end of April of 2003, so when that 7% came and we introduced you to the Success Gallery and a lot of members have seen your pictures over the last year or so, some time went by and then tell us how. I mean, I made the announcement that Team Muscle 2 was coming up, and what made you say, you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's time to go. Maybe it's time to do it again.
Well, even my caliper. Calculations of body fat had gotten moved up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Abs were still showing,
okay,
but moved up a little bit, and I kind of thought, you know, maybe this would be what I would need to get down to something not only as good but better.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, once again, thought that I'll apply, but I'm sure I'm too old and it won't hit me, you know. But it took me, and I was glad.
We're just going to keep proving you wrong there.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that's good for anybody else that might hear this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's not really a matter of age.
No, it's not. You know, the reason I laugh out loud, literally, when you talk about the age is because, to me, it has nothing to do with me accepting someone into the club or into one of the intensives at all. And so I have to laugh because I'm really just laughing that's how you perceived it, you know? But so you applied, didn't think you'd get in because you're too old.
But I was accepted.
But you were accepted, and you went, oh, no, now what?
Well, a little bit, yeah. There's, you know, this is like, well, what's going to happen now?
Mm-hmm.
And the intensive is well-named. Suddenly I am just concentrating on watching everything much more so than I ever had before,
mm-hmm.
Calculating, using all the tools that are available now, too.
Mm, right.
And once again, kind of surprised at how much I was taking in. When I began the intensive, I went and had my body fat checked by somebody who supposedly knew a little more than I did, and they came up with, I think it was 9.6 or 9.8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, still had abs showing.
Well, I would say, and at 63, or were you 63 when you started? No, you're 64.
I was 64.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, at 64, 9% body fat, you know, that's awesome right there.
So the guy that did the thing said, well, you know, you're lean enough already.
Right.
You know, and he was, professor or something like
sure.
that, or one of the colleges, and he said, well, you know, I guess it won't hurt, you know, but he was
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, a little bit surprised that anybody, my age, and as relatively lean as I was even thinking about trying to go any farther.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I find people, I don't think of myself as a bodybuilder, truthfully, but I guess I am.
Yep.
By default, nothing else.
That's
and,
right.
Most people just don't expect anybody, you know, in their 60s to be following any kind of a thing like that.
Right.
Generally, they'll consider, oh, no, well, you might do a little exercise to keep in some kind of shape, but certainly not to improve your physical appearance
right.
In addition to being in better shape. And, hey, why not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you did come in, and I know it took some acclimation to get used to the tools, and you've got, I think, a modem instead of a fast connection. And
Yeah, tightwad.
And so, but you did, and you did get better over time, and it did take you, I know, quite a long time in the beginning, like it does just about everybody, to really get used to the tools and figure out, okay, this is how you do this and this and this. And things did speed up, correct? I mean, you did get better. You did get more proficient.
Well, I got to where it worked along fine.
Yeah.
It's just, I can honestly say that, you know, it's kind of like, what can I say? I fight everything.
Yeah.
At times it's, you know, like, well, why do we have to do all of this?
Right.
You know, and surely I don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I found it worked.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the success of the Team Muscle 2 Intensive and kind of where you went, because even I was surprised in the last couple of weeks when you and I were talking about caloric intake and that kind of thing, and I started doing some calculating on where your body fat would be and where your capabilities would be or where we could ever possibly expect any human being to go, and we had to make some adjustments right at the end there, because you reached it. I mean, you reached the pinnacle of what we could ever expect for a human being as far as body fat. Not a 64-year-old human being, just any man. And, you know, with a couple of weeks left, it was like you made it. So you started out in the, you know, 9.5% range.
Mm-hmm.
And where did we determine that you ended up?
6%. Which does not follow what the calipers said. If you recall, we made an adjustment for age.
Okay, right.
Because if you go by calipers, even now, my calipers show 7%.
Okay.
And I'm not really changed from the end of the intensive.
Sure. Well, you get punished and we've talked about this, but you get punished a bit in the calculations the older you get when you're looking at skin fold.
Right.
And so, but still, 6%, whatever. I mean, that's incredible. And the people looking at your photos are just always freaked out when they say, holy crap, look at this guy, you know. I'm in my 20s or 30s or 40s, and I'd like to look like that, you know, let alone in my 60s. So you're a standout. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And you did incredibly well. And now we're 3 months past the end of the intensive, and, you know, what's your body weight compared to, you know, the end?
It's moved up a pound or two, but actually I think we calculated that 151.2 or thereabouts,
right,
was my maintenance weight,
mm-hmm.
And I pretty well stayed there or under.
So, I mean, you're staying at 7% or so,
right?
Whatever, all the time now.
With no problem.
Is it difficult for you to stay there?
No, not at all.
This is just who you are.
After the intensive ended, I have to admit I have a few more splurge meals.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, well, I'll eat something that I would have considered a flat no-no.
Right.
But most of the time, no. It's just kind of gotten to be a habit to eat the same way, and it's not a problem.
What is then? Because, you know, there's going to be men, especially, because you're a man, and everybody relates to their own sex and people that are like them. But there's going to be women, too. But there's going to be people looking at, you know, you and listening to this interview, and they're going to be saying, "What? You know, is this guy some kind of a freak, or what is the deal here?"
Well, I've been called that.
Well, and they're going to be thinking, you know, I mean, is this guy some kind of, is he living on rabbit food? What's this guy eat? So can you give us an example of what you consider to be just no big deal and that keeps you at that 7% range? Give me an example of a typical day food-wise.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, now. Not all that different than it was on the intensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that there are additions. I get up, generally breakfast is oatmeal with a scoop of protein in it. What else would I have? A cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot seem to do the 6 feedings a day.
Okay.
If I do that, then I'm just flatly not hungry for the next one. So I generally eat 4, and I did that during the intensive, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I admitted it at the time. But so generally like 3-4 hours later, then I would have something like, a can of tuna, only I eat about a third of it. And I am fortunate in that I don't have a huge appetite. But I eat about a third of a can, of a 6-ounce can, so it's 2 ounces of tuna, maybe a slice of bread.
Do you mix that with anything, Stephen?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm perfectly happy with it, packed in water, just, you know, eating it out with a fork.
Okay.
That's fine. One slice of bread, whole wheat bread, carrot, celery, cottage cheese, probably about 12 ounces of non-fat milk with a scoop of protein in it. So my lunches are generally pretty high protein.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, we'll go to the gym after that, so, you know, an hour or two after that. I have never gotten into trying to eat a high carb or something for energy going to the gym. Kind of think about it, because I always would like a little more soup in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But after the gym, I fix, it would be like 8 ounces of non-fat milk, 8 ounces of orange juice, 2 big scoops of protein, once in a while an egg, banana, all in a blender, and that generally, I'll drink half of it and then the other half about an hour later.
Okay.
And then, like for supper, pretty simple kind of stuff. I live alone, so it's not a matter of, having the whole family try to adapt or anything like that, which is, I guess, an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But my meals are not that, exciting, but mm-hmm. I'm perfectly happy with them.
So what's supper then?
I'm trying to think. Last night I had beef soup, and this came right out of a can.
Oh, that's right. You're my soup man.
Yes. Uh-huh. And one slice of bread, a little cottage cheese. I had an orange. What else? There's something else I ate.
You pretty much have soup several times a week.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of soups do you have?
Bean soups, but varying kinds. I don't usually cook them myself. It's more likely to come out of a can.
Right.
I do note the calories, what the whole can would be and mm-hmm. how much half of it would be and so on, and I will kind of act accordingly. But I'm not weighing and measuring.
Right.
Eat about half of it, put mm-hmm. the rest away in the refrigerator and eat it in a day or two. Generally, that's about it. Last night, I guess you'd call that a splurge, as I had a big bag of popcorn.
Okay. Now, just like full fat, full butter?
No, kind of lower than normal, but still I have found better ones than that one was.
Right. So that's a typical day. So now we got to go back to see if Steven's a freak in another way. We got to see what kind of activity he's doing. So, what kind of activity do you do during the week? How much resistance training and how much cardio, if any?
During the intensive, it got to be pretty intense. I mean, I was probably working a minimum of an hour on resistance training every day,
mm-hmm.
and virtually, I don't think I even skipped one day a week. In addition, the cardio got from 10, 15 minutes a day to as much as pretty much a half hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of calories got burned kept going up and up and up, and the time didn't, so I guess I was becoming more cardiovascular efficient.
Mm-hmm.
After the intensive, the cardio has dropped off pretty dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
I still probably go average of 5 days a week to the gym because, well, frankly, it's just kind of a happy habit, and I feel like something's missing if I don't go.
Right.
But the cardio has dropped off. I'm not that enthusiastic about walking on a treadmill,
mm-hmm.
but it works. Some things I cannot do very well. With my knees, I'm having problems with even riding a stationary bicycle. But again, walking works. And if I get on a treadmill and put it on heart rate, the thing just ramps up accordingly, and I never adjusted the heart rate. I still do it as if I were 58 years old or whatever. And but it goes along fine. But overall, probably 2, 3, 4, 5. It'd be like 5 hours a week resistance and probably maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours. I think, truthfully, David, that I could probably do totally without the cardio and maintain.
Right. Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree. I mean, it's I'm glad that you're keeping at least some of it in. It is just a good, healthy habit to keep in, and it'll actually support your resistance training by making sure you don't get winded too early when you're going through your sets. But just improves overall conditioning. But no, I don't agree. As far as body fat goes, you specifically could probably do it. Well, you and I had talked a little bit before the interview, and I want to stress that you and I had talked before the interview about this next subject, and you had agreed to talk about this just a bit. Because as the people are looking at your photos, they're very impressed. They were impressed when you were down around 7 or 8%, and now they're going to be incredibly impressed to see you at, the 6% range. And there was a time, I don't know how long ago it was, and this is where I want you to kind of fill in the gaps, if you would. There was a time when you had decided that you wanted to get your hormones checked. So tell us about that, and how'd you do it, and what'd you find out, and what'd you decide to do?
Well, I got one of the saliva test kits from the power store.
Okay.
Sent the thing in, got the results, realized that this is low, but wasn't quite sure. Emailed you, you responded back saying that, well, it appears that you have the testosterone levels of about a 7-year-old girl. I wasn't hurt. I mean, I kind of felt like, yeah, it does look like it.
Yeah.
At the time you put me in contact with Dr. Cohen,
mm-hmm.
Is he still involved?
Yeah, he's still practicing.
Okay,
yep.
He tried various things, but we ultimately ended up with a transdermal cream that with steady use brought my T levels up to mid-range. Occasionally we'd get on the higher side when we test. And it does appear that this is something I'll have to continue. I mean, right along the rest of my life, because if you stop, it goes down. And
so you
it's hard to say how much that really had to do with, improvement and so on, but it did appear that once the T levels were up into a normal range, that I did gain lean mass faster. Now, this is not like steroids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like I suddenly just, went through the ceiling.
Right.
But it did make a difference, a little more energy. But I did notice, for my efforts, something showing quicker than it was before.
Well, yeah, you're actually starting to see some reward for your efforts instead of, just struggles.
Emotions.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the object, too, is, and you did you finally say you settled in on a cream or a patch?
I've used both.
Okay.
Currently, I am using both. I find the patches annoying. It may be just something for me, and this is something next time I see the doctor I've got to talk to him about, because I use the patch, and it's fine, except that it itches all day. And then when you take it off, I've got a red spot there that's actually slightly swollen, and I don't like it.
All right.
The cream has none of that and seems to do the trick just as well.
Well, and the thing is that the thing we want to stress here is that, when you actually had tests done and the tests showed that your testosterone was incredibly low,
mm-hmm.
and the object was to bring it back into the normal range.
Right.
And I'm 100% in agreement with that, and I think that it's 100% agreed with you. And I think that, like you said, it really just brought you into the normal range, and not the normal range of a pubescent boy, who's got his testosterone just going off the charts, but,
right.
Into the normal range for a man your age. And and I just wanted to bring that out so that other men can be aware that, for one, these therapies are available, and two, if a man is in his 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, and he's really putting a lot of effort into the gym in resistance training, doesn't seem to be getting much out of it, or he's exhibiting, other symptoms that are related to low testosterone, then, geez, get it tested. What would you say to the guy? What would you say to that guy,
Steve? Absolutely get it tested.
Yeah.
This is not something that's, I have to admit a little bit, when I first started this with Dr. Cohen, was thinking, well, I'm cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having an unfair advantage here.
Right.
Well, I'm also working at a disadvantage if I don't do it.
Oh, definitely.
However, doctors have told me, Cohen and others, that this, for some guys, won't make any difference at all. They won't notice anything.
Mm-hmm.
But sure did for me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And
so it's not as if, suddenly I turned into, Godzilla or something.
The Incredible Hulk.
Jumping in there and suddenly I, went from pushing 100 pounds to 500. It didn't work that way at all.
Right.
But what I could honestly tell is that, I had a little more suds in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I never have enough. I mean,
sure.
I sit around, I tease with people in the gym and they say, hey, you're resting too much. And I say, hey, I'm old. I'm not. but just the same, I can tell a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone off the T and the testosterone at times, mostly just for tests, and things began to drop. They didn't drop back to where they were, but they dropped.
Right.
And so to me, it may be a lifelong thing. To me, it's a no big deal.
Right, right.
Something I can sure do.
Well, I'm in agreement with it for the right people and the right purpose, and it definitely is a fit for you, and
I don't think it's something the young fellow is ever going to have a problem with. I mean, it wouldn't hurt for him to test it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get, I'd say, past 40, then it probably is a little more problematic and then something you know, just makes sense to check. Especially if you're working along real hard, you're watching your diet very carefully, and not too much happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just another thing to check.
Did you ever use any supplements?
Well, let's see.
Or
creatine, whey protein. I take, still right along, take Bridge Vitamin. Essential fatty acids. But that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Just stick with the basics.
Right. I have tried other things and usually found them to be wanting.
Exactly. And for most other things, you will. I've been in the supplement business, or, you know, I had been heavily involved in the past, and, yeah, most things are going to leave you wanting.
Uh-huh.
What's a guy do, Stephen, who is in his 50s, 60s, whatever? You didn't start training until you were 58.
Right.
What's a guy do when he looks at you and he says, that's it, that's who I want to look like, that's what I want to look like, I'm 30% body fat or 25% body fat right now, or I'm 40%, whatever, and I've never trained before, and that's what I want to look like, so whatever Steven's doing for a routine today, that's what I want to do. Is that what he wants to do?
No.
What's he want to do to get going if he's like you were and he can't walk up a hill and that kind of thing? What do you suggest for you know, the upper middle age crowd when they want to get started?
Well, essentially, you got to figure out. When I first went to the gym, you know, working out of vast ignorance, I really didn't know what exercise hardly did what. The gym I go to has numerous machines, and I didn't have a clue as to what they even did, how to work them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just walk in and start like, okay, I'm going to do this or this or this. Probably a basic routine, which either can be provided, you know, I mean, should be available a lot of places.
Right.
But it kind of depends on whether the person's going to go to a commercial gym or going to do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
I go to a commercial gym not because I love going to a gym so much, it's just that I will go.
Right.
And I will do it, and I know that at home I'd be much more likely to, oh, let's go ahead and do something else for, you know, ignore it, in other
right.
words. But I would say basic exercises. You know, I'm not the big pro here. I just follow along what other people said,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not even good at figuring out workouts and so on. Tend to work them much longer than, you know, people say. They tell you, you know, you ought to change every 6 weeks or something like that, and I don't. Sometimes I go along months on the same one.
Right.
But the clue is, as you pointed out early on in my leanest lifestyle game, you're pushing more weight or you're doing more reps.
That's right.
And really, as long as you're doing that, you are getting somewhere.
Yes.
And it may not be instantly visible. You don't suddenly get 20-inch arms or anything like that, but, you know, things are going along. I think that the biggest compliment that I've received is to have people tell me, man, you look fit. Well,
exactly.
I sure wasn't fit when I started.
Right.
And for somebody, you know, to perceive me as fit, and I am fit, that's great.
I agree.
You know, I'm not going to be Mr. Whatever.
Well,
go ahead.
Do you recommend that the middle-aged, older gentleman or whatever that's looking to start, you recommend that if they're going to a gym that they go ahead and maybe seek out one of the trainers there to kind of help them get started with some of the basic moves?
Excellent idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's a question whether you want to continue on paying them right along. I personally feel like if you... Oh, maybe had 4 or 5 training sessions with a competent trainer.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to go ahead on your own. I would definitely get yourself a notebook or a logbook. If it doesn't have to be a fancy one, but log what you're doing so you can tell whether you're winning or not.
Mm-hmm.
I do see people who claim to be wanting to in effect transform themselves, and they're doing the same thing. Week in, week out,
right.
The same weight, same everything else. Sometimes, you know, don't even remember that they did the exercise or not. Maybe it's because I'm old, but I've always had problems remembering things like that, so I log everything. Number of reps, weight, everything else, and so next time I can look and see, hey, I want to do better than that. And occasionally you go backwards.
What?
You just have an off day or something like that, but that doesn't matter. The point being is you really want to see where you're going and plan it. And if you're not doing well with what you're doing, then see about maybe changing your program, try a different way, different exercise for the same purpose. Am I helping at all here?
Absolutely. No, it's perfect. And one of the things, I was just letting you go, it was great. And one of the things that I was going to just ask you is, you know, you had trouble walking. You know, one of the recommendations for everyone, of course, by the government and fitness experts everywhere is, man, if you can do nothing else, just walk.
Absolutely.
So when a person's starting out, this is going to lead into a second thing, but when a person's starting out, if we're saying, you know, get some kind of expert help at least for a few sessions, and then if you want to take it from there, then take it from there, but get some expert help for at least a few sessions and get your form down so you don't get hurt. But as far as the cardio goes, what do you think? Just walk or get, I mean, to start off with?
I'd say whatever you like doing.
Yeah.
With me, walking works fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care much for the steppers because my knees hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care much for the bicycles right now because my knees will hurt. But walking, I can do.
Okay.
I have no pain walking at all. And, I can't do, Walker on the team muscle too, running up and down stadium stairs. Well, I fall over dead. You know, I mean, I couldn't do that. But,
yeah.
If you can do that, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But swim, it's whatever works, but something you kind of don't mind doing.
Right.
If it's totally hateful, chances are pretty good you're not going to do it very well.
That's right. Well, a lot of the recommendations, too, are, you know, for walking. If nothing else, it's almost like at some point in time, the government and fitness experts give up on people your age, Stephen. They just say, just get out and walk.
Oh, take a pill.
Yeah, take a pill. Take a pill, get out and walk, or maybe just do some light gardening. Well, what I want to ask you is, can you talk about your beliefs anyway about the importance of resistance training? Is it, you know, how has it helped you? Do you believe it has? Do you think that other men that are, you know, approaching your age that, you know, are just thinking along the lines of, like you said, just becoming more fit, and they're listening to the government and fitness expert recommendations of go out and walk and do some light gardening, they may not have given consideration to resistance training at all. So can you talk just a little bit about that and your beliefs on that?
Well, I'm strongly in favor of it. Obviously, it's done good things for me. Part of the thing with me is if I were just going to do light exercise and so on, you are going to be what you do. If that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
You know, if you're going to just walk a little bit, you know, you'll be better off than you would have otherwise. And, I think resistance exercise, how do I explain it? It makes you stronger. It keeps everything working. It's not all a matter of appearance either. I mean, obviously, if you don't work out resistance exercise, you're not going to develop any muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle may or may not be important to you. But, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where, okay, I'm losing fat, but I'm not gaining any lean mass.
Mm-hmm.
You'll end up pretty flabby-looking, scrawny guy.
Right.
Without it. And I don't know. I just find a lot of satisfaction in it.
Mm-hmm.
I could honestly say that I absolutely hate hamstring exercises. Do them anyway. But all the others I really enjoy. I mean, there's a kind of a challenge to it. But I do feel like, if you were going to do only walking and just minor stuff, it's not going to work out too well. You're only going to get half, not even half, of what you need.
Do you think that resistance training helps functionally on a day-to-day basis, too?
Oh, yeah.
Because you talked about helping repair this home and so forth, and you were the only one that was able to really get in and get some, you know, some vigorous stuff going on. But, I mean, how important is that in your mind as you get older?
Very important.
What are you afraid of? What would you be afraid of if you didn't have or didn't keep your muscle?
Like a friend or two who have trouble getting up out of a chair.
Right.
And they're my age or younger.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want everything to work well until the bell chimes. And it may sound a little silly, but, I plan on living another 30 years just to annoy all my nephews and nieces that I don't kick off. But I also want everything to work.
Right.
And continue working, you know, properly, not barely able to make it upstairs or something like that. And frankly, I just see too many people my age who are right in that boat. Or they depend on, I'll go to the doctor and get a pill. And No, I take a thyroid pill and I take testosterone, and that's it.
Right. And, you know, is there a concern that if you didn't, or if you hadn't, or if you did let your, you know, your functional mobility health, you know, and your, when I'm talking about, you know, keeping lean body mass, keeping muscle so that you have the functional strength to do things, is there a concern that you may not be able to take care of yourself otherwise, and if that time came, where you would end up? I mean, there isn't for you right now, because you're just like, well, heck no, I'm active and muscular, and I'm putting on muscle, if anything. But do you think that's a concern for the average person who might be getting up into the 60s?
Well, it should be if it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if a person isn't thinking about, you know, keeping things going,
right,
keeping their body going and keeping active and flexible and all the rest of it, they're really missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do find, as I said, a lot of people who just seem to go along like, well, you know, I'm too old for that, or, you know, and I'm not talking about climbing mountains. I'm talking about day-to-day stuff.
Right.
If they don't, they're really missing it.
Well, let me just close with this question. For any guy or woman who's around your age or whatever, I'm just going to say that, though, because I think people are really going to relate. They really are.
Watch it, you know, you're getting on that old fart stuff.
That's right. But they really are, and I've already seen it, you know, in comments from people who have seen your pictures in the Success Gallery, and as I've told you, and I know you're very modest, but as I've told you, there've been flat-out members and just other people that have got going, and they just tell me, hey, look, it's because of this guy that I'm doing it. If he can do it, man, it gives me some hope.
Oh,
but
good.
For the person out there who's thinking about trying the leanest lifestyle or just whatever program, they're thinking about getting going, but they're in their 50s like you were. What advice would you say to them if they're trying to figure out if they should do it, and maybe they're doing nothing right now?
I'd suggest they start out slowly. I would recommend they kind of do things in steps. It would be kind of silly if for somebody who's 50 pounds overweight to say, well, I must lose 50 pounds in you know, 3 weeks.
Right.
You have to kind of do it a little bit. Every little bit helps. Nothing, you didn't get heavy, if heavy is a problem, or out of shape, either one, instantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this happened over time. It's going to take some time to get back. But I would really recommend, if they're involved with leanness lifestyle, that they pick up on the tools available on the site right away. I mean, you may find them annoying at first and try to figure it out. I sure did. you know, I'm crabby.
Sure.
It, you know. Ask a lot of questions.
Right.
You know, the answers are there, and you're available to answer questions either by phone or email. I suggest they also use the forums. Use the forum, and you know, if you have a question that way, because you get all kinds of feedback that way, both from you, the coach, and from the other members. But I guess what I'm saying is start.
Just start.
You have to start.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be like you're doing everything perfect instantly. If you even start and you're doing something positive in one thing, it kind of grows on itself.
Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, if you start off walking and then eventually, you know, it's 3 months later and you finally make it to a gym, or you buy yourself a, you know, a small set of dumbbells and a video or whatever, just start.
Well, and it's not easy to do. I can testify that it becomes kind of, as it has with me, it's kind of a happy habit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of, this is life, and I like it, and I don't know that everybody's going to honestly like it. I still don't like doing hamstring exercises.
Sure.
But for the most part, you know, it's if you don't begin, you're never going to get there, I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's been said all kinds of ways.
Sure. Well, I want to thank you for sharing, you know, part of your life and your transformation history with me today. And I also want to thank you for participating in Team Muscle 2 and graduating and being such an amazing success and an inspiration. Whether you believe it or not, you are an inspiration to a lot of people, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to hear this, and they're going to see your photos, and it's going to really provide hope. And you know, I've talked about that before and how important that is, but it's so true. And I just want to, you know, thank you again for letting me be a part of your life for this time, and continuing to be a, you know, a great member. And we'll keep in touch and keep us posted on how things are going. And otherwise, I'm just going to be expecting you to be like 85 years old and 7% body fat with because I'm just not going to think any different of you otherwise. So thanks again, Stephen, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Okay, and just, I would say, if I can do it, you can do it.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LennonLincoln.E as in Edward, A as in Adam, N as in Nora, N as in Nora, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, then lifestyle.com. That's www.LennonEssLifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.